The message tonight is God's love. It keeps no record of wrongs. And we just celebrated Valentine's Day a couple of weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago. And, you know, when many in this nation think of February, love comes to mind, right? And in this nation, I'll speak for this nation, the word love is used for various different scenarios. You know, a husband might say, I love my wife because she is so beautiful. And the wife might say, you know, I really love my husband because he's so handy. He always gets done my honeydew lists, right? You might have brotherly love. That's the love I just talked about, is a love between husband and wife. You might have a brotherly love where, let's say their names are Tom and Jerry. And they like to fish. They have that interest in common, or they like to hunt. And Jerry says, man, I just love that guy, Tom. Love hanging out with him, man. I love fishing with him. He's taught me so much about fishing. Or you might have two neighbors, say Sally and Jane. And Sally says, man, I just love that lady Jane next door, because whenever my husband and I have to go out, she's ready and willing to babysit. Brotherly love. But the agape love of God stands above all other types of love. The agape love of God. Agape love is the God kind of love. The agape love of God loves others by a choice of the will. It's a selfless love. It's self-denying. It's compassionate. It's unconditional. And so tonight we're going to talk about the greatest type of love, agape, the God kind of love, the unconditional, no strings attached love of Almighty God. All right, so we're going to get into God's Word. And I think the one in the New Testament who pens the greatest description of agape love is Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13. And so tonight I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to kind of exposit it verse by verse. 1 Corinthians 13, if you have a Bible, verses 1 through 5, and then I'm going to concentrate on the last part of verse 5. And so Paul pens about the agape love of God. It's just a beautiful chapter. He writes this: if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. What he's saying is, if somebody speaks in an angelic tongue, maybe he's saying if somebody is eloquent of speech and speaks beautifully, but they don't have God's agape love, it's just a bunch of noise, a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You see, the love of God brings harmony in place of strife. It makes ugly situations beautiful again. Without love, he says, that person who speaks eloquently is a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. But I want the love of God operating in my life. How about you? Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am, what does he say? I am nothing. Amazing, right? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom, say, all mysteries of maybe the Christian faith. Maybe you've got people out there that are just incredible theologians, right? And they can understand, they're trying to understand the incarnation and certain things of the Christian faith. Or maybe that person is super intelligent, they've got knowledge. Or maybe there's somebody out there that's got a faith that can move mountains. He says you can have all of this. Prophecy, so that you can fathom mysteries, you can have knowledge, a faith that moves mountains. But if you have not the agape love of God, he says, I am nothing. It's like life has no meaning without the agape love of God. And you know, when he talks about a faith that can move mountains, it brings to mind what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. He said, many will come to say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them, this is Matthew 7, 23, plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. I wonder if Jesus was saying that those people that he was talking about in Matthew chapter 7 did not have the agape love of God on the inside of them. Life loses meaning without the unconditional, selfless, no strings attached love of God operating in the life of a believer. Then he goes on to verse 3 and says this, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, excuse me, I gain nothing. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not agape, I am nothing. Not amazing, right? You know, there's some people that call themselves Christians, but they're Christians by name only. They just call themselves a Christian. Or maybe some person that's secular. And maybe these people are giving large amounts of resources, money, to nonprofit organizations, maybe to help eradicate homelessness or to help drill wells in another nation for fresh water. He says, you can do that. You can give all you possess to the poor. You can surrender your body to the flames. But if you have not love, he says, I gain nothing. You know, there are some people that have a self-directed interest, a self-absorbed interest in giving large amounts of resources to nonprofits. And some of them do it for recognition. It's a self-directed reason. You know, some people may die on the flames and do it for notoriety, for other reasons except the love of God. He says, without the agape love of God, I gain nothing. You know, you can give all you have to people less fortunate than you. You can die as a martyr upon the flames. But if you don't have the agape love of God deep down on the inside of your soul, nothing has been gained in the light of eternity. The only way to gain eternal life and to be with God one day in heaven is by loving God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. The only way to make it to heaven one day is by loving God deeply on the inside, placing faith in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The one who truly loves God, has the agape love of God on the inside, is always thinking, how can I please God in what I say and what I do throughout every day of my life? And as you love God deeply, deep down on the inside, it's going to overflow into your relationships with other people on the outside. So, if you give, if you surrender your body, you've got to do it with the agape love of God as the motivating force. The selfless agape love of God has got to be the reason you do what you do. If you've got a self-absorbed motive or a self-directed motive, guess what? You gain nothing in eternity. And when you go away from this meeting tonight, you got to pray and say, God, make this message real to me. Make your agape love real to me. I want to understand it more. God, I want to please you in everything that I say and do with my life. I want to please you, Jesus, with everything on the inside of me. And I want to love those, which means everybody, that are created, God, in your image. Amen? Amen? And so for the next couple of verses, verses 4 and 5, Paul writes and he talks about the facets of this beautiful diamond called agape. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, he says, love is patient. It's forbearing. It knows how to wait. He says, love is kind, aware of doing good to others. He says, it does not envy. It's not upset with somebody else for having something that you don't have. Right? It does not boast. It is not proud. But the love of God is humble and keeps a small view of itself. It is not rude. Person who is rude is only thinking about themselves, right? They don't care about how they harm the other person. It is not self-seeking. In other words, the agape love of God is selfless. It's unconditional. There's no strings attached. It chooses to love the other person who can't give them anything in return. It is not easily angered. It doesn't throw a fit of anger when things doesn't go its way. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Amen. It keepeth no record of wrongs. And this last part of verse 5 is what I want to concentrate on for the next few minutes. One translation has it as, it thinketh no evil. It keeps no record of wrong. You know, how many here have ever bowled with friends or family members? You know, bowling. When you bowl, you keep a scorecard, right? To see who is ahead, who's winning, right? You might have a written scorecard, you might have a digital scorecard up on a TV. And, you know, there's people out there that keep scorecards of the offenses others commit against them. But he says that the love of God, the agape love of God, keeps no record of wrongs. Does not keep a scorecard of the wrongs done against it. It thinks no evil. You know, as long as you're alive, as long as you've got breath in your lungs, maybe it happened in the last hour, it might happen in the next hour, somebody is going to say or do something that does not quite sit right with you. They may do something, they may say something that gets under your skin. Right? And he says that the agape love of God keeps no record of wrongs. Another translation has, it thinks no evil. In other words, when somebody says something that you think is evil, wrong, or bad, you do not continue thinking about that evil, that wrong that was done to you, if the agape love of God is flowing and operating in your life. You know, if you mull over that seed of offense and you think about it, and you talk to Jack about it, and to Sally about it, and you go to bed thinking about that seed of offense, guess what? That seed of offense, if you nurture it, can become a root of bitterness. And as the old saying goes, I'm kind of paraphrasing it, so we'll say it's Jonathan saying, if you drink the poison called bitterness, it won't hurt your offender. It only hurts you. If you drink the poison of bitterness, it might kill you, not your offender. So, I'm going to give a couple of instances here tonight of how you might possibly start to think of evil when a seed of offense is sown into your life. Maybe you get together at a family reunion, right? And there's a long-lost relative there who sees you. Maybe you haven't seen this relative for 20 years. And maybe all along you've been concerned about your appearance. Maybe you've been trying to improve your appearance. And this long-lost relative says to you, it looks like you put on some weight. You gained some weight. And you took that offensively. You took it as a seed of offense. My question tonight is this: are you going to allow that seed of offense to take a hold of the soil of your heart? Are you going to think about it, man, after you leave the reunion? Man, I can't believe what they said to me. I can't believe that he said that I gained weight when I'm all along I'm trying to improve my physical appearance. I just can't believe it. You talk to Jack about it, and you talk to Jane about it, and you go to sleep thinking about it. Friends, if the agape love of God is operating on the inside of you, guess what? You're not going to think about that seed of offense. You're going to occupy your mind with better things, with the best thing, the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Maybe at that same family reunion, somebody belittles your beloved late mom. You loved her so much. Maybe it was your dad, some other person. And they belittled that late loved one in your life and said that that loved one was underhanded. And you take it as a seed of offense. Will you take it as a seed of offense? Will you start thinking about that offense, that offensive thing the person said, or will you just let it go like water off a duck's back? Remember, if you've got the agape love of God operating in your life, you will not think about the evil thing, the wrong thing, the bad thing that was said to you. You will not nurture that seed of offense. Maybe somebody borrowed some money from you. Maybe it was a couple of $100s. Or maybe they borrowed your car and they promised to get it back to you within a week. And a month's gone by and you haven't gotten it. 2 months have gone by and you haven't gotten it. And you're offended. That person kind of sowed a seed of offense into your life by not returning what they borrowed. Are you going to think about it and think about it, go to sleep thinking about it, and cause a root of bitterness to grow up on the inside? No, in Jesus' name. We're going to pray, God, give me the strength to forgive the person who took or borrowed something from me and never returned it. Is that making sense here tonight? Another aspect of the agape love of God, not thinking about evil, is this. Thinking no evil, the love of God thinks no evil. In other words, it does not think about how to repay evil for evil. Vengeance is God, he will repay. Don't take vengeance into your own hands. Leave it in the hands of God. He knows how to talk and get to your offender and let them know that they did wrong. So, there's this other aspect of love, the love of God thinking no evil, is that the love of God doesn't think about how to repay evil for evil. You know, when you get offended by somebody, something they say or do, the first natural human reaction would be what? It's to get even, to retaliate, right? So, in that instance that I gave you earlier about somebody, a long-lost relative at the reunion, joking about your weight and saying maybe it looks like you gained some pounds, what do you do in that case? Is your first thought thinking, man, you know what? They said that I gained some weight, and you know what? I just want to get even with that person. They may say that I'm looking heavier, but I just feel like telling him that I might be fat, but you're not all that good-looking. But you know, the Word of God doesn't think that way. The love of God doesn't operate that way, right? The love of God does not retaliate against the offender. That person offends you by something they say concerning your physical appearance. You know what you might say to them? You repay them good for evil, not evil for evil. You say to them, you know what? As a matter of fact, you're looking pretty good. You're telling me that I've gained some weight, but you know what? You're actually looking pretty good from 20 years ago when I remembered you. The love of God operating on the inside of you does the opposite. It thinks how to pay back good in place of evil. It doesn't try to retaliate. It doesn't try to get vengeance. It doesn't take it into its own hands. Leave it in the hands of God. Maybe that person who borrowed that money from you or borrowed that vehicle, that bike, and never returned it. You know, the first natural human reaction that you might have is, man, I just want to get even with that person. I feel like going to that person's employer and telling them something negative.
about this person. Can't believe that they didn't return that money that I needed to pay groceries with, or that bike, or that car. But you know what? If the love of God, the agape love of God, the unconditional, selfless love of God is operating in your life, rather than trying to get even and say something negative about your offender, guess what? You might just, with the grace of God, decide, you know what? I'm just going to sow that money, that bike, that thing into that person's life. I'm just going to let it go and forgive my offender. And in our own human flesh, it's hard to forgive in this way. It's hard not to retaliate when you're offended. But guess what? When you get weak on the inside and your flesh doesn't want to forgive, cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. My flesh is too weak. And God will give you His supernatural empowerment by the Holy Spirit to forgive that offense. Amen?
Amen.
Cry out to God. Get into the Word of God. Pray to God and say, God, I need your supernatural strength because my flesh is weak. Amen?
Amen.
I recently had a disagreement with my wife just several weeks ago, and I was a little upset about it. You know, spouses get into disagreements, right? We all know that, right? There's disagreements in relationships. I got into a disagreement with her, and at night before we went to bed, I said, you know, at least you could say, I'm sorry. And she reluctantly said, oh, okay, I'm sorry for doing that. It's like I required an apology from her. And she gave it, reluctantly. But you know, the love of God operating on the inside of you lets go even of the apology that you feel is owed you. Well, the least that person who borrowed my money or borrowed my bike or borrowed this thing from me, the least they could do is apologize. And say, I'm sorry. You know, if you're operating in the love of God and you're not thinking about how to repay evil for evil, but you're thinking about how to repay good in place of evil, then you'll think, you know what? It's okay. I'll just let it go. They don't owe me an apology. I forgive that person in Jesus' name. Amen? So, whenever you want to get upset with your offender and think, man, I can't believe he said that to me. I can't believe she did that to me. Remember, we committed a mountain of offense against God. We have all offended God. We have all sinned against God. And what did God do in Christ Jesus? Paul writes about it in Ephesians 4, 32. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 5:1, in context, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you and me. Be imitators of God. Be imitators in what area? In the area of forgiveness. So whenever somebody offends you and you find it hard to forgive, remember, just remember, you know what? God forgave me a mountain of debt, of sin, by my faith in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross over 2,000 years ago. And the offenses that person committed against me, I realize, are not as great as the offenses I committed against God. And God still forgave me. He loves me, and I'm going to love my offender. I want the agape, unconditional, self-denying, selfless love of God operating in my life in Jesus' name. And finally, in the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's, you know, eternity is at stake in this area of keeping no record of wrongs, of not keeping a scorecard of the offenses committed against you. Eternity is at stake in thinking no evil. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? going to read you one final illustration here. It's about Corrie ten Boom. It says this. Writing in Christianity Today, Professor Louis B. Smeads relates a story about Corrie ten Boom to illustrate the power of forgiveness. She was stuck for the war years in a concentration camp, humiliated and degraded, especially in the delousing shower where the women were ogled by the leering guards. But she made it through that hell. And eventually she felt she had, by grace, forgiven even those fiends who guarded the shower stalls. So she preached forgiveness for individuals, for all of Europe. She preached it in Blumenthal, in the United States, and one Sunday in Munich. After the sermon, greeting people, she saw a man come toward her, hand outstretched. Ja Frolein, it is wonderful that Jesus forgives us all our sins, just as you say. She remembered his face. It was the leering, lecherous, mocking face of an SS guard of the shower stall. Her hand froze by her side. She could not forgive. She thought she had forgiven all, but she could not forgive when she met a guard standing in the solid flesh in front of her. Ashamed, horrified at herself, she prayed, "Lord, forgive me. I cannot forgive." And as she prayed, she felt forgiven, accepted in spite of her shabby performance as a famous forgiver. Her hand was suddenly unfrozen. The ice of hate melted. Her hand went out and she forgave as she was forgiven. Amazing, isn't it? She prayed for the grace of God. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, when somebody offends you, don't meditate. Don't think about the evil done to you. Don't think about it day in and day out, because it can become a root of bitterness, and that bitter poison only will hurt you, not your offender. When somebody offends you, don't think about how you can repay evil for evil, but think about how you can pay good in place of the evil done to you. And it's hard to do it on your own. It's hard to do it on our own. We're weak in our flesh. We are imperfect human beings, but God is perfect. And like Corrie ten Boom, just pray to God and say, "God, it's hard for me to forgive this offender, but give me your grace. Give me your strength. I don't want to keep a record of wrongs against those that have offended me. I don't want to think evil against them. I don't want to think about the evil done to me. I don't want to think about how I can retaliate and pay evil for evil. Give me the strength, God, to repay good in place of the evil done to me. God, help me forgive." That's the agape, unconditional, no strings attached love of God. But you got to pray to God, and God will empower you by the Holy Spirit. He'll give you his strength to forgive and to let go and to release yourself from having to get vengeance and retaliation against the person who has wronged you. God will take care of it. Vengeance, God says, is mine. I will repay. And it's a message that could be preached pretty much every Sunday, every week, because guess what? As long as we're alive, somebody is going to say or do something to do what? To offend us, to get under our skin. Amen? Amen. Say it with me tonight. God, I pray that your agape love, your selfless love, operates in my life, in my relationship with other human beings. God, give me the strength. Show me more clearly your agape love, the beautiful facets of this beautiful diamond called your agape love. Help me not to keep a record of wrongs, a scorecard against those who have offended me. Help me not to think evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even accepted Jesus in my life. The first way, the first step you've got to take for the agape, unconditional, selfless love of God to start operating on the inside of you is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never accepted Him, but you want to do so for the first time tonight, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody in the room here tonight wanting to place faith in Jesus Christ for the very first time? All right, maybe you placed faith in Jesus, but maybe you got upset with somebody, you got upset with God, and maybe you slipped away from Jesus. But tonight, you want to recommit your life, re-give your life back to God. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. I saw a hand out there if you want to recommit your life. Yes, yes, ma'am, stand up. Anybody else want to follow that lead, her lead? Wanting to give your life back to Jesus, there's not another moment to waste. Remember, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be with God in heaven? If you don't know and God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Heed the voice of the Spirit if you want to re-give your life back to Jesus. Anybody else in the room here tonight wanting to rededicate, re-give their life back to Christ? Yes, stand up. Anybody else? I saw this lady's hand, I believe, had her hand up. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Anybody else? I think I saw another hand here. All right. Anybody else want to do that tonight? All right. There's not a moment to waste. If God is tugging at your heart by His Spirit, don't ignore His voice. All right, ma'am, come forward. And just let's repeat this prayer tonight. Dear Jesus, I thank You that You died upon the cross for my sin. I followed You at one time, but I slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. And tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going Your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life, my thoughts, what I do with my body, my spirit, my relationships, my finances, every part of me. Jesus, I love You. Give me the strength to follow You all the days of my life. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing You face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The angels in heaven are rejoicing with her decision and the decision of others in the room here tonight. And some of the ways to remain close to Christ is by getting into the Word of God on a consistent basis, not just once in a blue moon. Praying to God, finding good, solid Christian friends, and going to church. All right? May God richly bless you. I pray that the agape love of God is developed more and more in your life on a daily basis in Jesus' name. Read 1 Corinthians 13 and read it again and read it again and again and again. Amen? All right, this brother right here, are you going to dismiss us?
Hello. John 3:16, thank you. How about a round of applause for the rest of the room?